We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Our discipline can never outmatch our hunger, and our hunger can never outmatch our discipline. They need to be in perfect balance. They need to be in perfect balance with the Lord. You could have all the discipline in the world when it comes to the things of church and to the things that come along with service. But if you're not hungering for the Lord, then it is just motions. It is just movement. And movement without hunger for the Lord, you might get somewhere, but if the Lord's not with you, what's the point? You know, I always find it very interesting that Saul, before he came Paul, so Saul on the road to Damascus, he was heading to the right place. He was heading to Damascus. But he had to have an encounter with the Lord. He had to go to that place with the right intention, with the right motive. He had to go there blind, literally. He had to go there in complete trust and faith of the Lord. He was heading in the right direction. He was using his giftings and his talents to the greatest of his ability. That's why he was such a great persecutor. He, you know, again, you say whatever you want about Saul, but he was good at what he did. Some of the people in the world that are the worst, all it will take is just one encounter with God and they'll be the best. You'll hear evangelists say that when, you know, I've forgotten which evangelist it was or which man of God it was, but he said, basically, you know, when you're starting a church or when you're starting something, go for sinners and go for the worst. So obviously that's how all you came here. But if people are middle of the road, when they find Jesus, they tend to stay a little bit middle of the road. If you're just completely set in your ways of, well, I'm nice and I do this, and Jesus is a great kind of add-on to everything, then when you add Jesus, it doesn't really upset the balance too much because you're not too hungry for him. It's when you start to get hungry for the Lord and hungry for the real, that's when things become dangerous. A good kind of dangerous. Some people think that Paul, it just happened out of nowhere. I don't truly believe that anyone gets touched by the Lord just out of nowhere. I don't. And before, or previously, just before Saul had his encounter, he witnessed Stephen being stoned. He witnessed this great moment in which Stephen was able to stand before those men like Jesus, say the words of Jesus. So basically, in Saul's eyes, he was basically witnessing Jesus at that moment. He was witnessing Jesus. It's no wonder that when finally Jesus met with him on that road, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He had to ask who he was, but he also knew, oh, this is the man in charge. Don't you love that? If you get knocked down, you find out who's in charge. I used to know that as a young man with older brothers. If you get knocked to the ground, you know who's in charge. You know, finally, who stops being in charge when you finally stop getting knocked to the ground. You get a little bit older. That's a sibling thing. If you have them, you understand. If you don't, hopefully you never have come to find out. But Saul had witnessed the truth. And Saul had witnessed hunger for God like he'd never seen. He saw sacrifice like he'd never seen. And then he met with Jesus. God doesn't just come to anybody sovereignly. God doesn't just go ahead and pick people at random, like, well, it'd be quite fun if somebody in Syria was touched today. It'd be quite fun if somebody on the road to Damascus, yeah, his eyes are just running to and fro, and he's like, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Okay, there we go. He's not random. Anytime the Lord seems random, it's because your mind is too small to comprehend. And that's no bad thing. If you tried to be able to if you tried to have like the full capacity of the mind of God right now, your head would blow. And I would feel sorry for whoever had to clean that up, so don't. You have to have a hunger that matches your determination, or your, like I was saying before, you have to have a hunger that matches, what was the word I used before? Discipline, thank you. I knew it was a D word. I was looking. You have to have a hunger that matches that discipline. And then if you are a hungry person and seeking the Lord, there's the flip side where you have to have the discipline to match the hunger. Because you might be hungry for the Lord, but if you're not a man about action, or if you're not a person that's going to move quickly, you'll miss a lot of opportunities. You'll miss a lot of things that the Lord is doing, because you'll be so busy seeking His face that you won't have done the things He told you to do the last time. Oh, I just want to spend time with the Lord. What's He saying? Well, He said to do this, but now I just want to spend more time with the Lord. He's in you. You're in Him. I'm not telling you to take the anointing or the presence of God lightly. Quite frankly, you should be pressing into the anointing every day. Especially if you struggle in the days. Especially if you wake up and your body is just screaming at you, or you're tired, or your mind is always just a mess. You can call out for the wisdom of God. You can call out for the anointing and say, thank you, Lord, for the anointing for this day. You should. You shouldn't take it lightly. It should be something that you seek eagerly every day. If you want to grow, this is the way. Discipline and hunger. And those are daily things. Without discipline and hunger, you have basically a person that, I don't know, rolls around on the floor all day. And some people are more hungry than others. You get to determine your hunger level. You get to determine your discipline level. You get to determine how much the Lord has of you, and in consequence, how much you put into His kingdom. A lot of people want to separate God and the church, and it's a wonderful idea, except for the fact that the Lord hates that idea, and He detests it, and it's unbiblical. You can't have God without the church, can you? You can't have the bridegroom without the bride. And no bridegroom takes kindly to anyone speaking ill of his bride. Amen. Thank you. I would even witness it back, and I'll go kind of step back there for a second, because I'll say, you never say anything about another man's wife. Ever. You know that as a general rule. But I'll say that even from the days of when I was like having friends in Bible school and such, even when a guy has a girlfriend, it's a very touchy area. You know, you don't just go ahead and say anything. If they ask you an opinion about something, you might give the opinion, maybe. But even then, you had to be careful. You don't just run your mouth. Because even if you're right, you lose a friend. I used to have friends that would come up to me and ask me, what do you think about this girl? And it would always be like, well, she seems lovely, but these are the reasons it's not going to work. And it doesn't really matter what you say, because someone's going to do what they want to do. But a man and his wife, that's holy, that's sacred. You don't touch that unless you want to get into a fight. Amen. Obviously, I don't have a wife at this point, so I have no one to fight for. But, you know, I have family. And I can, you know, I can kind of go at my family a bit, but if you speak about my family, we have to talk about it. I have nieces and nephews, and I love them. And if anyone steps out of line with them, then they have to be dealt with. You can, I mean, again, it's just one of those things. You can attack me all the day long, I don't mind. But if you come at my friends, then it's personal. It's not personal when it's, you know, you being attacked. You're just being attacked. That's not personal. It's your friend. That's personal. And that's how God treats his church. It's personal. So as much as people want to have church or God without church, it's a very spiritual sounding idea which completely loses all of its tread the second that you're asking for fruit. And here's the thing, that's what it comes down to, guys. We'll be known by our fruit. Jesus said that when he comes back, will he find faith? Well, you know, will he find faith? Does that mean he's just coming back and he's finding people that say, I'm a believer? No. To say, will he find faith when he comes back is to say, when I come back, will I see works of fruit produced by faith? So when you say, will there be faith? It's like, it's just saying, are you going to be producing? Will you be producing? So if you want to be a fruit producer, then you have to walk that line, that narrow path of discipline and hunger. It's never one or the other. It's never one or the other, guys, because then there's always a ditch on either side of the road to take you off to the side of it. And there's always going to be about 10 ministers or preachers or friends who do that thing that make you go, well, isn't that the wrong way to do things? There'll always be one idiot on late-night Christian TV who's abusing the prosperity message for you to say, well, I'm just not sure about that prosperity stuff because I've seen some interesting people try and manipulate it. Well, I think I've told this to the students before, and I'll tell it to you. You don't counterfeit something unless there's a real. I can't think of anything that's made up right now to try and, you know, jokingly counterfeit. It's like, again, you know, let's put it this way. No one's trying to counterfeit Monopoly money. Monopoly money is fake. So if you had somebody running up to you with fake Monopoly money, not even Monopoly money, but fake Monopoly money, that person is touched in the head. It's a wonderful expression. No one's trying to counterfeit the thing that's not even real to begin with. The counterfeits only come from the real thing. Amen? So if something is being attacked, you have to examine why. If people are abusing it, you have to understand that some might abuse it, but there's a real. I mean, we don't take that, you know, route with everything else in the world, do we? Again, we don't go to a restaurant and the chef was awful, didn't cook the food right, the waiter was rude, and then when it comes time to pay, it's like, well, you know what? I just feel like this restaurant is not worth paying. And I quite frankly feel like this place is the charlatans here. They just want my money. And they didn't even give me anything useful. They didn't even give me anything worthwhile. Anything they gave me, trust me, I'm going to see it in about 10 minutes. That's a joke. It was that bad. But sometimes with spiritual things, we get so stupid. So just remember that. There is a middle of the road to keep you safe. There is a middle of the road. Because like I said, all discipline, you'll be a good worker, but you'll eventually dry up. You can't do church forever. Or let's put it this way, you can't do Holy Ghost church forever without the Holy Ghost. You could go find a nice religious place to settle in because the dead find comfort with the dead. And you can't just be the hungriest person in the room if you're never actually doing anything with what you've been given. Because if God is just some kind of device to get the high or the feeling you need to make it, well, then he's no different from any stimulant or substance or drug. Because you're just using it, using him. Drugs don't give anything back, they just take. Alcohol doesn't give anything back, apart from maybe your digestive tract. It just takes. God is the only one who, when you seek him, you receive everything you need. He gives you what you need to run with. You just have to tap into that. You have to hunger for the anointing, but believe me, the hunger you have to do is to unlock everything he's already done. The thing you need to do is get to the level where you actually are able to receive everything he's already done for you. Because he's already done everything. So what is our hunger for? Our hunger is to actually get us to the level where we're able to actually take it. We're actually able to walk in it. You actually have everything you need right now to make it to the end of time. God's given you everything on the inside of you that you need to make it to the end of your days or to Christ's return. Amen? Amen. You don't have to go around looking for it. There's no problem when you see a preacher you like and they have an anointing which you are drawn to and you follow them and, you know, you're excited by the preaching, but you're not, you know, you can go get your hands laid on by somebody, that's fine. God is so gracious that he'll work with us in a lot of ways. So if at that moment, at that time, you felt like, I need that to receive the thing I need, God would actually work with your faith. But that person's not going to be around forever. That person might not be there at midnight when you get some news, which you weren't hoping for. If your foundation is in any way off the kilter of just Jesus, then whatever that is can be shaken. Your entire dependency has to be Jesus. It can't be this preacher, that preacher, can't be Pastor Jeremiah. And he's not the kind of person that's going to tell you, come to me, I've got what you need. He's the person that says, here's Jesus, here's everything he's given you, go get it. So you need to go get it. Get what? I'm talking about the goal, the call, your life. Because you already have everything you need. When God made the earth, and when he made everything, have you ever wondered why God waited till the sixth day to make men? You might not have, that's fine. I was looking at at Genesis one day, and I was looking at that. And it just popped out at me. God created man on the sixth day after everything else had already been created. And then he put him in the garden. God has brought us into this earth and into this world with everything we need. He didn't create man, well, he didn't create the planet, then put man on the waters, and then separate the water from the water and then the earth from this. And man wasn't stood around thinking, my goodness, what is going on? By day three, man is like, I'm hungry. No, God brought man into the picture when everything was in place. He put us into a situation where he put us into this place and said, everything you need to live an abundant life in me, it's here. It's now. All you have to do is step into it. All you have to do is step into it. And I'm here to encourage you today to not grow weary in pursuit of the Lord, to not look behind. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to want to look back, because you'll always question if you made a mistake with this or with that. Wherever the Lord has led you, you can be confident. You can be confident that from that point, you don't have to look back. If you have to make adjustments in the here and now, you make adjustments in the here and now. But then you move forward. Looking back isn't here and now. Looking back is, I've made a mistake and it's hindering me now. And that's the lies of the enemy. That's why there's such powerful three words in the Gospels, which is, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. It's a scripture with three letters. Can only be beaten with Jesus wept. For its brevity. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back. She couldn't let go. There was something about that life which she wasn't able to move on from. Even though destruction was behind. That's all that was left behind was destruction. There's a reason the Bible has to tell us that as a dog returns to its vomit, don't be like that. Don't return to the messes you left behind. And don't worry about the person you were then. You're not the same. If you're anything like me, even as a new creation, every once in a while I'll be doing something randomly. And a flash of something from 5 or 10 years ago will just pop in my head. It's not the kind of thing I share often, but just, you know, you're in the middle of something, then all of a sudden something you did 10 years ago, and it's like, oh, I handled that situation bad. I wonder if they still remember. I apologize, but ooh, that's rough. And then if you dwell on that, you go back to that place. God has wonderful things ahead. I mean, he has wonderful things now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to just look ahead, as in forget now. I'm not telling you to look ahead like some preachers do because they're saying, I can't promise you any of God's good stuff today, so it's tomorrow. You might have had a bad day today, but thank God for tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow. The sun will come out. Tomorrow. It's only a day away. Which doesn't work, because the second tomorrow comes out, you start singing again, tomorrow, tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow. And the devil is happy for you to, you know, he either wants you looking back or he wants you looking so far ahead that you can't even really see it. Because the devil isn't worried about you believing for something as long as that belief is just hope. Our hope is Jesus is returning. Our hope is that great future he has for us. But in terms of the things you're believing for today, that's not hope. But as long as you are thinking to yourself, well, you know that healing I'm believing for? It could happen any day. I will be healed. I will be healed. It almost sounds like faith, doesn't it? Yeah. I will be healed. No, you are healed. If you will be healed, then tomorrow you will be healed. Next week you will be healed. Next month you will be healed. If you keep pushing it away, time is pretty linear. It just keeps moving forward. The promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and so be it. Doesn't say they are yes and tomorrow. It's probably not going to be a long night tonight. It's going to be exactly what it needs to be. The Lord hasn't forgotten anything He's promised you. Hasn't. His promises haven't changed one iota, one bit, one little thing. The thing you have to keep doing is moving. I'm not telling you to strive. I'm not telling you to get up every day and just keep moving. Oh, it's a struggle. God is not a struggle. And if you're struggling, it's because you're doing it without God. That's discipline without hunger. That is when you are carrying your burdens, your heavy-laid burdens. And Jesus didn't say, "Come unto me, I've got another great burden for you." Jesus didn't say, "Come unto me, it's going to really suck, but it's going to be worth it in the end. And you get to be pious while you live on this earth and really shove it to other people." He said, "Come unto me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." So you've got to lighten the load. God is not a burden. Never has been and never will be. If God's a burden, if God's a burden, then we might have to do an altar call. I'll tell you who God's a burden to. The wicked. I'll tell you who God is a burden to. The religious. The devil. Demons. So don't lump yourself in with that group. Find His presence, His peace, His joy. And then every day you get to just move in His ease. Do you think you're going to do great big things if you struggle with little things? Or if every time you're asked to do something, it's just like, "Oh, woe is me." We used to see that all the time in Bible school. You asked some kids to do some stuff, and it was like, "Oh, goodness, we just asked them to help move some chairs, and it looks like they got the leg chopped off." I want to read this scripture to you, actually, because this will just kind of be a wonderful kind of exclamation mark on that point. The book of Pastor Jeremiah. And chapter 12, and verse 5. And I'm going to read this one to you in the Amplified because it's the only way to do it properly. 12:5. And I'm reading this to you in the Amplified Classic. Because apparently recently they ruined the Amplified. There's now two Amplified Bibles. Get the Classic. The Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience. To him that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay. Oh boy, okay. Oh. Lord, I just repent right now in front of everybody. The Lord rebukes somebody's impatience, saying, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses?" Amen. "And if you take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions in the swelling and flooding of the Jordan?" If you can't run with footmen, How can you run with horses? If you struggle with the little stuff, how can God give you big stuff? If you live in a land of peace and it is like war to you, and you could argue that it's like that in America right now for many people, you live in a land of wonderful prosperity and such wonderful things, and it's, my goodness, it's like we turn back the clocks and just everybody is oppressed now. I'm amazed at the days we live in. I'm amazed. Everybody is in a prison of the mind. And if you want to be oppressed, you can be oppressed. And if you want to be free, you can be free. And if you want to run with the horses, then you can. But it's going to mean you need the presence of God. Because you can have that discipline, but it's when the Lord adds his extra that you can start overtaking the men, when you can start to run the greater. If you're pressing into the Lord, God can send you to incredibly contentious areas. You won't worry a thing. There are people who are in more danger today in America just because of their disregard for the Lord than there are people in Syria and in Turkey who are Christians. It doesn't matter which land you're in. If you're not right with the Lord, that's a dangerous place. We have our friend, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because, you know, but Evangelist Yana, who you all know, when she was in Syria, she went there, if you didn't know. Originally I didn't tell this story because I thought she actually went to Syracuse. And so for a long time I was like, what's the big deal? Haven't we all been there? Turned out it was Syria. There we go, yeah. Syracuse, Syria. I've heard it's quite, I mean, I've been to Attica. So you know. Just know, I mean, come on. I've dealt with some things, okay? Probably shouldn't tell this to you. But I've driven through the streets of Attica, and I rolled down the windows of the car and just started yelling, Attica! Attica! Because that's what they did back in the prison riots. We ruffled those feathers. God. Pastor Jeremiah was with me. He witnessed this. He's trying to protect you. Okay. We were both there. In the line of fire. She was in that place. When I was in the Philippines, I went to an island by myself for about a month where they had an Islamic terrorist training camp on the island. And that island was known to be the most dangerous one for white people. I'm pretty white. And in the Philippines, I stand out quite well. Quite well. Have you ever seen Elf? Have you ever seen the beginning of Elf where Will Ferrell is among the elves? That was me in the Philippines, just to give you a picture. I stood out. I never felt in danger at all. There was not one moment where I was worried. There was not one moment, well, I won't say there wasn't one moment, but I'll say I know Evangelist Yana, and I'll just say that there's not one moment where she would have been saying, oh, I'm in trouble here. I shouldn't have done this. Because when you're in the will of God, well, for one thing, it doesn't even matter if you die. Because you're just going straight from this place to heaven. But you're only going to go if it's your time. I truly believe that. And God's not taking anyone before their time. Amen? Amen. And the devil's not stealing you away before your time. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you dare say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I'll come in there and I'll slap you right now. I have found the one scripture that I actually can link with the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And I think it's a very good connection. And that's if you go to the book of Genesis and read about Enoch. It said, Enoch walked with the Lord and then was no more, for the Lord took him. Yeah, that's the Lord taking away. But Enoch didn't suffer death, didn't taste it. And we live in this new covenant where we're hidden in God with Christ Jesus. Amen? We're hidden in Christ. The devil might be looking for you. It's going to be difficult, though. I don't know if I just told you this, but you're hidden. Amen? I think I was telling you this before, but I only like to honor God and disrespect the devil when I preach. Because I was raised in a place where you gave honor to the possibility of the devil's power. But I think it was either this or you Bible school students I was talking to one time where it's like, if you want to know the amount of trouble you're going to have with the devil, just think of Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. And there is scripture to back this up even. Because when the enemy tries to roll up a rock on a hill, it's going to fall right back on him. And he who digs a pit is going to fall into it. Now, if that's not Wile E. Coyote, I don't know what it is. And that devil, the Roadrunner, that devil, the Wile E. Coyote, is just trying to catch you. That quick, speedy Roadrunner. Never does. And you just keep irritating him with your meep meep. Your meep meep is the word of God. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to send this sermon idea right now to Stephen Furtick. I think we can use this. Okay, I'm having too much fun. Let's reel it back. God has great things. And I'm telling you, the thing you have to do right now is just keep moving forward. Keep seeking the Lord daily, keep hungering for him daily, and keep doing what you know to do daily. When you need direction, if you are seeking the Lord daily and his presence, when you need to make a shift, the Lord will tell you. You don't have to be surprised by everything that happens in your life. Did you know that? God does nothing without first telling his people, the prophets. Well, you have the Holy Ghost direct link up, and he will tell you things to come. Amen? You know, guys, either scripture is for us or it's not. Either scripture applies to our life or it doesn't. So you have to start taking scripture. The Bible says, the violent take by force. So maybe why aren't you seeing some things? Because you're not taking the word. You got to take it. It's yours. You have to declare it. You have to move on it like it's done. Amen?
Amen.
When I'm preaching on healing, I never do this too much, but I'm reading a John G. Lake book right now. And anytime he mentions healing, he just attacks pills. He just attacks medication of any sort. Because if you're not taking the word that you're healed, and then you're not feeling that healing, and then you're thinking, well, I'm not healed, then you will go to the pills. You will go to the world has to offer. And if you start to do it in one area, where's to stop it going into another area? The point is that you have to start taking back what is yours. You're not going to take much territory from the enemy if you're still struggling to take back what's yours in the first place. You're healed. You're whole. You're whole. You're whole. You're not divided. Don't skip over that. You are whole. You are not broken. You are not torn. Amen? If you're simply doing these things, guys, such simple things. Such simple things, but if you're doing these things daily, you will get such great distances. What's easier, to walk a mile every day or to try and do a marathon at the end of the month? Amen. Little by little, one travels far. You don't have to worry about giant strides. You just have to keep stepping. The Lord will take care of those strides. When you do the little by little, and when you seek Him daily, that's when you actually find the Lord propels you. Amen?
Amen.
When you're faithful, when you are seeking Him, and when you are diligent, He propels you. He takes you places you never could have gone unless He said, now, do this. Because the moment you have a word from the Lord, you have solid gold. You have a check which no bank can refuse. You have something, literally, it's as solid as walking firmly on water. Because when the Lord gives you a word, it doesn't matter if anybody else can see it. You know it. You know, Peter might have began to sink after a while, but he did walk on water. You know what everybody else saw? They didn't see a man walking on solid ground. They saw a man walking on water. You will do things that amaze people. Because you will be a sign. You will be a wonder. It's not just a case of people will know we're a Christian. Because we get into the office every day and complain about the anti-Christian things happening in the country. And so people know because you're ticked off. They'll know because of what they see in your life. Because fruit can be seen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.